Welcome to Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob. Thanks for joining us for this episode. Let's get started. Welcome to Writing and Publishing with Dumbold Bob, and an episode that I'm not going to dance around with by underestimating it. I did that with professionalism, and once the responses came in, I wound up having to return to it with a second episode while also emphasizing that we hadn't really even scratched the surface of so many areas that involve writing as a profession, authors as professional, and our work ethic as professionalism. This two-parter is covering the ground of writing. And in many ways, just like professionalism, the parts of it that I want to cover, and honestly feel I need to cover as we get ready to begin tackling deeper topics, such as traditional publishing methods, agents, and more. Well, these areas aren't really the parts most people would associate with the subject headline if you announced it as part of a writing and publishing podcast. And yet, there's a trick. If we're going to head into the waters of publishing a book, I need to believe you already know how to write. I need to approach things, perhaps naively, in a way that doesn't cover ground such as plot development, producing quality dialogue, character analysis, and so much more. I don't know if my saying things about grammar and assorted rules would do anything that could be any more effective than what you already know or could learn from so many other brilliant sources. And as I'm going to explain in a second, I also believe the world of writing, of literature, of whatever label you want to give it, is such an area of constant change and development. Well, there are plenty of folks that will fight right back against the establishment when it comes to every placement of a preposition or reasons for adding marks of punctuation, and on and on and on. It's an open subject of debate in every topic. Down the road, likely in a different season, maybe if and when we get to special guests or have reasons to focus on a variety of different topics, sure, we can discuss what it means to build stories and characters and proper technique, but that's not for this episode or the next one. Instead, for now, let's just have a conversation. Okay, yeah, a conversation. Because in my mind, before we can talk about form and content and rules and anything else when it comes to writing, and again, most of that is going to come much later in this podcast, if at all, we need to understand what is happening. And for me, that means we are, in whatever way we choose, exchanging information. We are communicating. Everything else is details when it comes to writing. I often think of a first draft as two people sitting around having a conversation, talking to each other. Words aren't always perfectly chosen. Sentences might not always be complete. Topics may be shuffled about, presented in the wrong order, and in some cases completely forgotten. With that out there, I have something I call brick wall writing. Imagine you and I are standing in the middle of a field. Any direction we look in, it is perfectly clear. There are no trees or walls or benches. The ground is flat with no rises or drops, no holes or overgrown grass. If we set off on a walk, around us completely is nothing that would force you to stop or fall or whatever. I explained to you that I'm running an experiment. It's about senses and perception and so on or something like that. The idea of our specific experiment is going to be to judge how we process information, and in this case, if I take away your ability to see and hear, can you still have a feeling for interpreting distances? I'm going to ask you to walk 50 feet, then 100 feet, then 25 feet, and so on like that. Different distances, alternating back and forth in length. When you can see and hear, how close do you come to those distances? And does your ability to meet those distances change with a blindfold on? Okay? Great. Our experiment begins with you being able to see and hear where you're walking. You can set off in any direction you choose, but after each set, you change the way you're moving. So you might move forward in the first one, then turn to the left before moving forward again. We go through maybe 8 or 10 different distances, and eventually we finish up. Now the blindfold goes into place. The earphones go on. And I only move the earphone back after each distance to tell you that I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and how far you should set off and walk. But you cannot see or hear anything that is happening other than when I tell you the distance to walk and to begin. We set off. The first one, 50 feet. Then 300 feet. After that, 5 feet. Maybe 100 feet, and I tell you the next is going to be a walk of 500 feet. Just before you start, though, I have a wall lowered into place. It's a circular wall that completely surrounds you, 10 feet away, so no matter the path you set off, you'll have attempted plenty of other distances without issue, think you're going for about 500 feet this time, and after 10 feet, you are going to hit the brick wall. There are some books that I've read that create the feeling of hitting that wall. One of the things I love about reading is getting lost in a book. And I think you know the trance I mean. It's one where you turn pages, start new chapters, and don't even realize it's happening. You look up for whatever reason and suddenly realize a few hours have passed. When this happens, it's usually because everything is working. It's not just that the story has grabbed you, but also that the writing has a pace and a rhythm that really works. In essence, it's comfortable. And then, on occasion, wham! A word so out of place compared to the language used to that point. A confusing sentence structure. A different way of describing a setting. Whatever. It just doesn't fit into what you had been lulled into. It's like walking into a brick wall. I know several editors that would run out of ink proofreading some of my work. Honestly, that would be good, and in many ways I could be a better writer as a result of it. But I also know the feedback that I've gotten from many readers mentions how comfortable I made them feel. How the books, how the words felt like that great chair or old sweatshirt. Comfortable. Reassuring. It just felt right. When people ask me about writing, I tell them that spelling counts, and we'll get to that idea more than once because it absolutely does. And so do the other rules of writing. But more than anything else, you need to understand that you are setting off on a journey to communicate. Whatever you are writing, you are trying to move information from you to your audience. And the most successful way to accomplish that is to be aware that you don't want to drive them directly into a brick wall. In many ways, in many areas, I have found that there are usually 3 parts of any great success story. Now, this isn't the place for a deep look into things as far as trying to establish what part of which things fit into each category. Instead, consider: first, natural talent; second, self-motivation and initiative; third, luck. Which one do you think is the most important? The answer that I've found to be true, and it's not even close, involves motivation and initiative. What pushes you or produces results? What drives you? Or, to think about it another way, you aren't going to sell any copies of your book if you don't have a book to sell. You have to do the work. Simple as that. It doesn't matter how talented you are. You could be the most amazingly skilled writer the world has ever known. Able to create tales of staggering beauty and creativity put together in the most gorgeously perfect writing ever accomplished. But even if that naturally gifted, if you don't deliver the content, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how connected and fortunate you are. Someone employed by a major publisher with the ability to make decisions about greenlighting your work might live in the house across the street from you, and you frequently spend time together. Person enjoys hearing your stories and keeps telling you to hand over a manuscript, but you never do. Even if we created a perfect situation, handed you the winning lottery numbers, it doesn't matter if you won't buy a ticket. I don't believe in writer's block. Big story with lots of material to explore. More to this point, though, I believe in writer's fear. When it comes to writing, you can always revise and edit and get help. But when it comes to the actual writing, you need to write. I found that people love to change recipes. You understand. Put this ingredient in, take that one out, and then let's change this from cooking to be about anything. Because people disagree on what words mean, definitions of things, and always carry along preferences and experiences into any debate. The trick is to understand when talking about the same things. Consider, appropriately enough, and I suppose getting us back on track, books. If I said, "What's a book?" I think we could all slap together some simple combination of ideas that probably would involve a manuscript and a cover. We all know what to look for if I said, "Head to the kitchen table and grab the book on it." A book is a book. Ta-da! Some might want to take things a bit further, though. Fiction or nonfiction? They're both books. History books and an autobiography are both nonfiction. Even if some history books are tainted by the writer, even if some autobiographies are, arguably, fiction, which honestly is just proving my point. We've got fantasy and thriller and horror and comedy, and the list goes on and on and on. We can break down books into an endless run of descriptions and categories, even when those categories succinctly and nicely slide right into the broader concept without all the breakdowns. As I wrap up this first part, what I want you to understand is that all of the details do, in some ways and to varying degrees, matter. When it comes to writing, though, at least here in the opening stages of things, we need to stop worrying about misusing adverbs and having the tenses for each chapter presented properly. Not because it isn't important, but because often what matters more, especially at the start, is how you communicate with your audience and having something to communicate with them about. Your writing, in content and style and presentation and reception, is your writing. It may need some structural additions, some smoothing and polishing, a bit less paint here and a bit more paint there. That idea is fine, true even. But for our point in the debate right now, none of it is a need for me to teach. At least not right now. Instead, you need to know that we need the book itself. The writing you should be worried about isn't perfect in every way. Instead, the writing you are worried about should be done. So, go get to work. You've been listening to Writing and Publishing with Dumb Old Bob. This podcast is brought to you by Parkside Backpack Productions in partnership with In My Backpack. To learn more about me, this podcast, and my writing, visit the In My Backpack site today at inmybackpack.com. I was assisted in the development of the podcast by Justin Gillen, Jay Gillen, and Karen Chapel. Justin is a phenomenal musician, and he wrote, played, and recorded all of the music we use on our podcasts. Jay is an extremely talented artist that has been delivering great work on projects with me for quite some time. In addition to all of his designs and efforts for Dumb Old Bob, he also created the iconic logo for In My Backpack. Karen is a creative, motivated, thoughtful woman that has been delivering countless exceptional technical results and ideas for our productions and has been a driving force in bringing our podcasts to reality. And while I would love to take all of the credit, the truth is, if you are enjoying the Dumb Old Bob podcasts, the talents and contributions of these three are playing a significant role in us being able to accomplish that. I invite you to send along your questions, suggestions, and comments. We have pages on several social media sites for Dumb Old Bob, and you can also reach us by sending along an email. Thanks for stopping in for this episode, and check in with us again soon. Backpackville, we're all friends here. Until the next time, have a great day.